Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin on Lending, David Lickin.
Happy New Year, everybody. It is January 4th. We like to put that up there at the beginning of the program. January 4th, 2010. 2K210, as I think they're referring to it. At least I saw that, Joe, on the NFL, some of the NFL programs here is the way we do it, 2K10. Anyway, welcome, everybody. This is Dave Lickin with Lickin on Lending. We're here to give you an update of all that's going on. I'll tell you, one of the things I want to point everybody to is that the markets are up. You look at the equities on this fine day, where as I'm looking at it, it's 162 up, Joe. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. And you know, at the same time, mortgage prices are up a little bit too. So it's good to see that we hadn't sucked investors away from the mortgage market just to get into the stock market.
Yeah. It's good news. Well, give us an update. What's going on? Happy New Year, Joe.
Well, thank you very much. And, let's hope this year's a good year. We're starting off on the upside, which is nice. It's up 3/32 on the day so far. And like I said, given that the stock market's rallying pretty good, it's nice to see that we're up. So often when the stock market rallies, we see the mortgage prices fall. And so, you know, it's starting off... starting off the year good.
Well, it is good news. Well, let's run through some of the what you see in the market as we look forward to the calendar here we've got coming up this year.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk in the news, Joe, about interest rates rising, specifically mortgage rates. What's your I know you don't predict rates, and we're not going to try to go there, but let's kind of cover what you see as some what's going on. Is there any change in direction? If so, why?
Well, we saw a change on December 1st. Most of November, we saw mortgage rates continue to fall. And in fact, on November 30th or December 1st, we had the lowest rates that we've had all year, just about tied for the lowest rates that we had all year. And by the way, these rates are the lowest rates that, you know, going back 36 years, this year's rates were as low as they have been.
36 years.
Yeah, and I don't know why 36 years. That's just what I think Mortgage News Daily had a little chart that went back that far. But December 1st, we saw a turnaround, and it was somewhat largely fueled by the jobs report that came out first week of December. And for the whole month of December, we've seen really a little surprising economic news on to the upside. Things are beginning to turn around. I think the jobs report was a very nice surprise, where what was expected was 125,000 jobs lost in the December report for November, and what it actually came out with was 11,000 jobs lost, so much, much better than expected. Retail sales were good. A number of things showed improvements, and you know, basically in December the market's kind of got back to its fundamentals. You know, long-term investment in fixed rate assets is very sensitive to long-term inflation concerns. With the economy improving, with the Fed spending money the way they are, the inflationary concerns are out there, maybe not for the short term, for the next 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, but you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, there's a concern that we're going to see inflation begin to eat away into these what have been very low rates. So fundamentals kind of took a hold in in December with inflationary concerns, and then there is also, you know, there's been a bit of a shift in demand.
Yes.
The Fed purchase program has slowed down. People have started seeing the stock market as a more attractive place to be, and certainly all the long-term government debt that's being issued is absorbing some of the demand out there for long-term fixed-rate assets. So, you know, that's kind of what changed or what has caused the turnaround in December. And, you know, I don't really see a big reason to expect that to not continue as we go forward. Fundamentals are that the government is going to stop their MBS purchase program at the end of the first quarter, and the demand that has created will have to be absorbed in the market. And usually when that happens, you have to pay more to attract those investors. So that plus the continued improvement in the economy, I see, you know, I don't see why rates would go back down from here anyway.
Yeah, there's more upward pressure than downward pressure, but you got to come back to this. I mean, still, like you pointed out, I mean, I started the industry 37 years ago, and it's hard to believe it's that long ago, but rates are back to where I started the industry. It's still low, though. Joe, this is just extraordinary low rates, and as long as we have this first-time home buyer credit out there that now includes existing homes, that's putting us in a place that is, you know, we could anticipate a very active real estate market at least through Q1 of 2010, and maybe that's the reason why there's a nice rally in the equities as well.
Yeah, well, you know, there's several things that make a home affordable. One is the interest rate, as we've discussed, interest rates are a little bit higher now than they've been lately, but they're way lower than they are historically. And then home prices have come down. And so affordability, along with the tax credit you mentioned, makes now a very good time.
Before we move off this segment, Joe, is there anything we want to cover in this segment about interest rates?
Well, think about the week ahead. We have another job report coming up on Friday. And as we talked about, the December announcement was pretty important for the mortgage markets, as will the announcement this Friday. The Fed meeting minutes get released on Wednesday, which is another big event for the week, and that shouldn't provide too many surprises, because there have been so many speeches made since the last Fed meeting that I think most people have learned what the Fed governors are thinking. But watch for that jobs report, 8:30 Eastern time on Friday.
Well, we've got some important information yet to come up that we're going to discuss in this program. A lot going on relating to things going on at HUD. Certainly a lot related to the whole entire industry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back. This is David Lincoln, and we're going to move on to the traffic report, as we now call this thing. Alice Alvey, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas is history now. Now it's Happy New Year. Welcome back. We're so good to have you on the program. So good, always, as always, to have you back on the program. So excited. I'm getting my words tangled up here. Give us an update on all that's going on. The comment period ended. Digesting that.
It did. Well, you know what? I thought to start out the new year, we just better start with a clean slate, a new list. So those of you who have been trying to keep track week after week on what the heck is going on, I thought, well, let's just start with a clean slate of what we need to try and pay attention to and what our hot button list is. So like you said, our first one on the list is these changes to Regulation Z that's called the Home Secure Credit. That comment period expired just before Christmas. This is the one that's going to have a lot of changes. It's a proposed rule. So we're watching closely as to how long it's going to take them to get through these 3,300 comments that they received. This proposed rule is the one that is going to really change armed disclosures. It's going to do away with the disclosures we have now. It creates a couple of new forms, one-page forms, does away with the charms booklet, but the one that worries everybody is the verbiage in this about prohibiting steering of borrowers and prohibiting payment to originators based on interest rate and loan terms. So this is the one everybody's trying to watch and say, wait a minute then, how's our industry going to work? So the Home Secure Credit changes to Regulation Z. We're now just in a waiting mode to see what the responses are going to be after seeing all of those comments, or what, you know, how the Federal Reserve is going to proceed after reading comments. Then the next one, the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2009. This is House Bill 4173. It passed the House early December. For those of you who've been listening all last year, you know this was a combination of a lot of bills all thrown into one big monster. It does a lot for Wall Street, but the parts we care about are that there it still has within it a piece where the lender would have to retain a portion of the risk, as much as 5% for some product types. So we're watching the wording within that very clearly. It also has the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Agency. We've got to watch that to make sure the wording's reasonable. And then the whole Financial Stability Control Council that'll manage the too-big-to-fail banks and that aspect of it. And then lots of Wall Street regulations within that. The next big thing, FHA lender approval requirements. This comment period expired December 30th. It was a short one. We've got a summary on that. We'll talk with you about that during our Hot Topics segment. And this is the one to increase lender net worth requirements and do away with that sponsorship level approval. Either have $1 million, eventually $2.5 million, or you won't be FHA approved, right?
Yep.
And then another one, this HUD has put out another proposed rule to put in a layer of the SAFE Act to apply to banks. So those of you who have been complaining, hey, wait a minute, there's an unfair playing field for licensing requirements. The banks, the loan originators, the depository should be licensed too. HUD has put out this proposed rule. Float that idea out there to see whether or not they can get some good response. So those of you who are for getting the bank's loan officers licensed, get out there on that proposed rule and let your voices be heard. We have till February 10th on that one. And then three trailers still from last year, two of them related to FHA. We're watching that the House Bill 3706, FHA Taxpayer Protection Act, get a load of that name. That's the one that's supposed to, it's the taxpayer protection to have that FHA requires 5% down. So I think Commissioner Stevens is going to do something before that bill passes. We'll watch that. And then House Bill 3146 still hasn't moved anywhere, 21st Century FHA Housing Act, to get more money for technology, have at HUD, have warehouse line capacity capabilities that FHA may be able to offer. So those two are a little older. We're not sure what's going to happen. And then last but not least, those of you still crossing your fingers hoping HBCC will go away, since we hear you, I'll keep it on my list. But frankly, I don't think anything's going to happen with it to put a moratorium on that. So that's the list starting out for 2010.
Wow, and we're going to be tracking it throughout the year. We encourage you guys to stay tuned to this. Alice, you are always just so chipper and upbeat about, you know, all these things coming at us. The fact that we've got 14,000 licensed HUD Eagle, full Eagle companies out there, and the fact that 10,000 of them are under the minimum net worth hurdle of $1 million that's going into effect at the end of this year, that is going to have all these things are going to have a traumatic effect or have an effect. It could be traumatic for some, opportunity for others. And we're going to help you throughout this year sort through those issues. So you stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick word.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource, used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Well, it's good to have you back, and we appreciate it. I want to talk about New Year's resolutions, Alice and Joe. And one of the ones I'm going to start off, I want to hear about what your resolutions are. But my resolution is I am determined to finally get the Lickin' on Lending website up and running so others that as people listen to this, they can go over there and tune in or look at all the topics in writing, and so they're not having to take notes on all this. We will get that done, and we'll get that up and running for you as soon as we get to that place in the radio, get that place in some time here. We're going to get that done. We have right at the moment a bunch of developments going on. I'm looking at the markets. I'm taking a quick look at the markets, and we're going to see here, Joe, I'm looking at this. Is this updating? It's still staying very, very positive. Sorry, I thought there was a development happening in those. We'd run back to that real fast. But anyway, New Year's resolutions. Alice and Joe, what do you got, Alice?
You're catching me off guard. I hadn't really thought about that. Let's see. Am I going to get into the personal ones or from the work ones here? I'm going to say from a work standpoint, we got to try and our first mission of the year is to be able to get RESPA squared away. We just think that there are another several hundred FAQs that HUD hasn't addressed, and our mission is to make sure we get that all out to our customers with the how to actually do this on a day-to-day basis. So anyway, that's my first New Year's goal is to make sure we tackle RESPA for all our customers properly.
Yeah, that's a good one. Joe?
Dave, my resolution is to try to stay awake until the clock strikes midnight next year.
You know, what's so funny about that is I know I cratered in. Did you bring in the New Year, Alice?
Yes, we did. Actually, we had a great time with my family. Yes, and my children.
We did. We had a great time, but I was suffering from some cold symptoms, so I crashed early too. Maybe it has something to do with age, Joe. I think that has.
I
think that definitely has it. Well, anyway, if you want to email us your New Year's resolutions, I think this is going to be an interesting year. One of the things that happened over the holidays was if you all go, everyone's listening in, go to mortgageorb.com, and if you look for the required reading section, the Mortgage Orb is published by Zacken Publications, and they reran the article that I wrote for the convention issue about looking forward in 2010. And it was a real compliment by them to me. I really appreciated it, that they reran it as a year-end must-read for everybody in the mortgage industry. And I went back and reread it, and I'm going, dang, who wrote this? I actually wrote every word of the thing, and I didn't hire anybody to write it for me. I actually wrote that thing, and it was really I got to tell you, I don't know what inspiration I had, Alice and Joe, but there was something there because that's actually pretty well written, and it should be read by everybody. So I encourage you to go out and listen to or read that, and we'll be talking about some of that in the Hot Topics in future meetings, but today or in future radio programs. But today we got a lot to go over. The new GFE is definitely is going into effect, and it's taking a hold basically today. I know, isn't there some latitude in this, Alice?
Well, you know,
as far as when it has to be, actually technically have to be doing it for reals?
Well, I think you have to look at it in terms of, you know, I'm big on phrasing. So HUD said they're not going to enforce RESPA for 120 days. All that means is you still have to do it starting today, and so you can make a case for that means who's regulating it for the next 120 days? Nobody's regulating it but attorneys and your in-house audit staff who have to try and figure out what, you know.
Or your correspondent.
Right, yeah, who you're selling your loans to is going to tell you how they want it done until we actually, you know, figure out or actually have HUD do an audit and tell us exactly how it's supposed to be. There's a lot of day-to-day issues that have to be addressed.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of things beginning to develop here, and I think there's a lot of concern. A lot of the emails we're even getting in as the program's going along here is, man, it just feels like this is overwhelming. What is really interesting to me, you guys, is the fact that there's been a gross absence. I mean, of the mortgage brokerage community, specifically NAMBI, standing up and really voicing their concerns. We saw a number of people standing up, but I was talking to a number of industry leaders over the holidays, and they said, we are so disappointed in the number of brokers that are just not speaking up. It's hard for many of them to say, I can't believe that they don't know, but some of them think they're just sleeping at the switch and not aware of all the changes. So they're certainly not listening to the program they need to be.
Well, how are they going to, I mean, if people really sat down and filled out the form based on some existing scenarios, and I think that's what we found. I mean, we were in one conference call after the next all through the month of December walking through procedures and all the what-if scenarios for reissuing the form if you make an honest mistake. And then for the brokers, to your point, you know, you're not out of business. When we get to, you've got block one and block two that describe your costs, and you have line A that, you know, that's really where a customer can be shopping, is comparing line A to line A between a broker and a lender. And you still have some competitive room in there, some service issues I'm sure that you can be good at, and the reality of maybe of the idea that you can issue multiple good faiths to show your customer different scenarios, I think is, you know, experts will prevail, right? Joe, we've been talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Question. Joe, sounds like you had a thought forming there, and I started jumping in with my impetuous nature here. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, one of the things Alice and I talked about before the call, and I've read a lot from the brokers about, is this idea that this new form is going to prohibit the use of premium pricing to cover customer costs. And I just wanted to bring up that this doesn't do that at all. The premium pricing would be shown as coming in, but it also go out as a credit back to the borrower against their costs. Is that not right, Alice?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you still can't. Maybe what they mean, Joe, is just in terms of dollars, that the amount of money they used to have to work with from a competitive standpoint, they're feeling the pinch on that. But to make the statement that they won't be able to offer premium pricing is not correct. But you can do that on the form. You can show a lender credit, and you don't have to turn around and take that all back as income to yourself. You can certainly apply that to the borrower's cost.
So if they apply it to the borrower's cost, can they bring that in as income? Is that being regulated is one of the questions. Yes or no? They want to know. They're confused.
Well, you do fill in, and so if you picture you have block two where you're showing, you know, that, yes, I have a lender credit. I'm earning, just for example, 2 points in yield, and so I'm going to fill in that I have a credit to the borrower of the 2 points in yield. Then if I want to earn all that myself and I don't want to give any of it back to the borrower because I need that for income, then in block one I'm going to have to include that 2 points in those costs up in block one. But if I say I want to give $500 of that to the borrower to help cover some of their own costs, then I'm only going to put $1,500 or a point and a half in block one. So that's how you would effectively give the customer premium pricing. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the form, I'm sure that was hard to follow.
Yeah, well, and that's a good point. Now, where can they get a copy of this form, Alice?
The Good Faith Estimate.
If they do.
Is available online. Actually, you should be able to get it straight from HUD's website. You know, if you use your search engine and put in GFE or RESPA from HUD's website, they have copies of all the forms.
I'll have to update it for you. That's what I was going to say. I thought for sure it's available on their website. Let's talk a little bit about the skin in the game. We're getting some emails on that from some mortgage bankers. I think this is one of the ones. It's interesting what is drawing the attention from the various participants in the mortgage industry. Mortgage bankers are really concerned about the skin in the game. Can we go into that, a little bit of a discussion on that?
Well, I think for those of you who haven't read the latest version of this Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act that I've, you know, what is that? That's like 1,200 pages. And we've searched through it. It's a pretty short section about the 5%. And it does, I believe, if I recall, I don't have it in front of me, say up to 5% for certain high-risk loans. And that's a pretty broad statement. You know, like we've talked about, how do you define all that? And so that's the part that's not clear within the bill. There's a lot of space in there that has to be worked out. So that's where they need your feedback. That's where your Congress, and at this point, I guess the Senate, because it did pass the House, needs your feedback on that.
But the implication is that loans that are made, conventional conforming Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA kind of loans, would not have that requirement. At least that's my understanding.
Well, right, and having an implication in a law is what scares everybody, right? You
yeah,
want it spelled
yeah.
out.
Yep.
Can somebody tell me exactly what product? You know, and Dave, you guys work on the warehouse line and the complexity of all that. I mean, how do you track who has 5%? And if one lender already has 5, does the next one who buys it also have to keep 5? And how do you track that?
And this is so poorly conceived, and it's just got problems written all over it. So I think there's going to be a lot of commentary on this, where I think there was probably less commentary on some of the proposed HUD regulations and FHA changes. I think this one is actually going to draw quite a bit of comments from it. I think the comments are going to be a little more effective because it's problematic if you start looking at it any number of ways. So, your aunt. To your question is, how do you track it, especially as a warehouse lender? It's going to be a challenge. So the other thing that kind of there's a whole bunch of things that I'm looking at, reading emails, Joe and Alice, as they're coming in here. To look at some of the things. And one of the things we talked about in the pre-program, Joe, is we talked about the removal of the cap for Fannie and Freddie. Could you go into that a little bit? Someone just emailed us and said, hey, I understand. What's this about removing the cap? Does that mean I can do bigger loan amounts? And the answer is they're not necessarily saying bigger loan amounts, but what it is the cap on what they have been able to do as far as lending. Is that correct?
Well, what it is, Dave, is the government had set aside $200 billion each for Fannie and Freddie as sort of their, their loss protection. They had committed that much money to those two entities so that those people buying their mortgages or mortgage-backed securities, relying on their guarantees, would feel comfortable that they're not going to go out of business. Okay, what they've done is, and apparently the timing on it was the Treasury needed to do this before year end, because after year end it would have taken new legislation. But what they've done is they've said for 3 years, we're going to suspend the cap. You know, there is not a cap now. And according to a Treasury spokesman, the purpose for doing this was to further instill confidence in the market in Fannie and Freddie and the role they play in guaranteeing mortgages. It was interesting. It was done on Christmas Eve, where it's not going to get a lot of press. But, some good things can come from this. The mortgage industry has been the beneficiary of government intervention so far this year, and I'm sure I'm raising some hair on some people's back there with that comment. But as far as mortgage low mortgage rates, and quite frankly, as far as an outlet for mortgages to be securitized and sold, the government's largely responsible for that. And by doing this, they're potentially doing a couple things. One is the mortgage-backed security purchase program that the Treasury has been buying, $1.25 trillion, is about to end, and with this rise in the cap, or removal of the cap, along with that, they also said that Fannie and Freddie, you no longer are required to shrink your balance sheet 10% a year like we once told you had to.
Right.
And by saying that, they're now saying you don't have to sell some of your assets. Which would be it'd be a bad time to put that many more loans in the marketplace, because it'd be too much supply, and the result would be higher rates. At the same time, they're not going to be selling. They may even have room to start buying some. So as the Treasury's getting out, maybe Fannie and Freddie have some room to buy. We might see them use this ability, this balance sheet size, to expand the modification program or buy more loans out of pools, buy delinquent loans out of pools, so that they can then more proactively deal with restructuring those mortgages. So maybe good things. Probably going to cost us more, though.
Yeah, it sounds like for taxpayers, it may not put smiles on taxpayers' faces, but it definitely is something that breathes a little more relief or life. How would you characterize it, Joe, into Fannie and Freddie? It definitely it allows them to not manage quite such short-term objectives as it relates to their overall balance sheet, right?
Well, and certainly it allows more people to feel comfortable buying their securities, relying on their guarantees.
Does it say anything to them about their future in 2010?
No, I think we've heard for some time that it's just not a subject that can be approached right now. There's, you know, with the housing recovery sort of fragile, Fannie and Freddie and Jenny represent, 85-90% of the loans the secondary market right now. Just not something that they have been able to deal with, and quite frankly, it'll be easy enough for them, maybe now with this cap removed, easy enough for them to kind of delay it until a more comfortable time. I certainly don't expect anything in the next few months.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we're going to be talking about some things that Alice says. She's taken the time to review over 250 posted comments, and it's interesting who's for what and who's against it. We're going to talk about that, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
All right, this is Dave Lincoln. Welcome back to Lincoln and Lending. We've got, there's certainly going to be a lot of broker-to-banker conversions going on here for those that can achieve getting the additional capital in. But, Alice, you did a good job of reading over 250 comments. Man, what did you do? Most of us are reading Christmas cards over the holidays. But, you know, you're a diehard. Reading 250 posted comments, that's pretty impressive.
Well, I have to confess, it wasn't just me. It was certainly my staff jumped in and did that because, first of all, it was a reasonable number, kind of a shockingly low number. When you look at how many people are going to be impacted or companies by the FHA changes in lender approval. So when we only saw 258 comments, we thought, well, okay, who took the time over the holiday to jump in and say something? And it was a pretty interesting split. I mean, it really did split pretty close along the lines of what you would expect, where brokers who are not FHA approved now think this is just great. Thank you. It's a Christmas present. You know, when can I start writing FHAs? Then you've got the small DEs, the small companies with direct endorsement approval. You've got small warehouse lenders who are just emphatically against this. Well, like we've talked about in previous shows, I mean, one gentleman had some great comments from his CPA about, and his lawyers, you know, kind of about the, it's not that I don't have the financial wherewithal to build my company up to $1 million and then $2.5 million, but there's some huge tax consequences and issues related to ramping your company up. And I don't know, maybe you know some more about that than I do in terms of trying to funnel that much money in.
Well, there's ways to do that. And without question, it can have tax consequences. But we've got a formula, and if people will give us a call, we'll be happy to talk to them about a strategy so they can do it without having the impact. And there is a lot of capital interested to come into the market. I just had a conversation with a Wall Street firm that has got several $100 million they're wanting to invest in the mortgage industry. And so I'll be meeting with them this week, and they're interested in helping and making investments with the right company. So don't assume, listener, if you own a mortgage company out there, that you can't get the capital in there to meet these new capitalization requirements. And another question came in and says, yeah, but aren't I going to lose control of my company at that point? Not necessarily. So we're going to have more on that in future programs. But it's interesting to me, Alice, that the small, mid-sized DE lenders and are somewhat resistant. I understand that the correspondent lenders are probably saying, man, all this means is more risk for these little guys. Their balance sheet can't handle it already. And it creates this unknown area. Well, you know, if do we need to follow the old standards? What should the standards be? And the answer is, it's your responsibility, Mr. Lender. You're the DE. Take it on.
Yeah, and I think
proceed with caution.
Yeah, well, and I think you said just a huge message to everybody there that this is not something to take lightly. If you say I'm keeping my DE and I now need to ramp up my operation or put an influx of capital to get up to this, you've got to plan and really take a look at your costs. Can you manage expanding your correspondent business or table funded, whichever route you're taking, with these new added, you're going to have to oversee these entities you're purchasing the loans from at a deeper level.
Alice, talk about the MBA's position. There was no representation from the larger companies, no commentary. I mean, it's almost, you know, is this something where we should be suspicious by their lack of commentary, or is it just a non-issue for them?
Well, I think they, you know, I guess you said at the end there, I think for them it's not that big of an issue other than their wholesale departments, and they'll look and say, well, I'll just have to, you know, I'm already auditing them. I'm already concerned about all the entities I'm buying loans from, wholesale or correspondent. So, but, yeah, the Mortgage Bankers Association, I sit on that, the risk working group for FHAs, and we kind of talked through what are some modifications. So in our numbers, we came across it was about 65% of those who commented were against it, and then the remaining, you know, say 35 to 40-ish percent, they were either completely for it or for it with modification. That was about a 50-50 split. It was a pretty low number who just went, yeah, as written, go for it. So the MBA was for lower net worth requirements. You know, they were looking more at, you know, a $500,000 net worth startup as opposed to the million.
And it makes sense. I think this is going to have an impact on MBA membership as well. If we continue to raise the bar, fewer and fewer people are going to be motivated to join the MBA because they're going to be relegated out to broker land again. And then there's a whole concern about that. That's kind of an interesting. Joe, what's your thoughts on all this?
Well, I said before that I would have preferred to have to answer to an agency like FHA than to have to answer to a correspondent bank like any one of them, only in that bank may decide to get out of the business. That bank doesn't have the same sort of good of the market consideration that FHA might. You know, FHA's always been created in order to make a market for underserved borrowers, and it may be that one of the correspondent banks just says, you know, I don't want to keep doing that anymore. And so I'd be a little concerned, and I'd always want to have multiple outlets just for the fact that, and that may wind up tripling your work, you know, if you have to maintain all the questionnaires and all the audits and all the answering to several correspondent banks. But it sure would protect you from not having a place to sell loans all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's so critical that you have multiple avenues in this market. It's always been a good strategy. Alice, I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to say, just to clarify, that when the MBA sent in their position, and it's a well-written piece, I recommend reading it, they say they support the FHA approval process to qualified mortgagees in increasing the net worth. However, they disagree with FHA's assertion that the proposed rule will not have a significant economic impact. So I think that's the piece that FHA really has to listen to as they look at this. And although some commenters tried to make that point and not quite as eloquent as the MBA was able to, you know, that this really will have an impact on the mid-sized shops who just have to say, you know, I either can't afford to get my ticket, so now I'm going to be subject to someone else's guidelines. It changes the competition landscape dramatically for many, many companies. And so I think it will have an impact.
Well, it's certainly going to have an impact on those companies that were the mini eagles. That goes away, is it? You know, and it may sound like it's great because you're freed up to just kind of go wherever you want. You don't have to go to a sponsored entity. But the reality is who's going to be taking it on? I think you should before you start doing too much, I'm all for this, this sounds great, you may want to consider the upstream effect to those that you might be doing business with, because it's certainly going to have an impact on them. Let's see here. Joe, I just got a comment, an email in about loan modifications. Does the capital that the Fannie and Freddie, the new caps that they have, is this going to allow more loan mods? Is there good, any good news in all of this in that area?
Well, I think so. Because Fannie and Freddie did have balance sheet limits, they would have been hesitant to buy loans out of pools. You can buy loans out of pools once they're, you know, you can buy delinquent loans out of pools, but they maybe have been hesitant to do that because they were told to shrink. Now they may be able to do that more routinely or in larger numbers. And once they are the owner of the loan, they have much more latitude to modify loans under their own decisions, as opposed to under the contract that the MBS is written under and the investor's perspective. So, yeah, I do think that it could help.
That's good. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. You know they had snow in Dallas, Joe? I mean, what the deal was? I was up in Washington State for the holidays, but I heard, you know, there was actually some snow down here. We had a white Christmas in Texas.
How about it?
We broadcast, Joe's in Austin. We broadcast this every week from Central Texas, the Austin area, and we're thrilled to have you listen in. I want to say a special thank you to Blog Talk Radio for making all of this possible. It's a wonderful service, and be happy to talk to you more about that. Alice, let's talk about MDIA. The application, it's effective, what's the deal? April 15th, 2010. I'm looking here in your notes.
Oh, it was just, that's really just a trailing implementation date. We don't want people to forget about, you know, we're trying
that's right.
to, as we develop the calendar for what's going on in 2010, you know, a couple things with the future implementation dates. The Mortgage Disclosure Improvement Act has in it that high-priced mortgage loan rule, right? So if you trigger a high-priced mortgage loan, you have to make sure the borrower can afford it. Well, that part's simple. Well, the part that's a challenge, and I think especially for credit unions, is the fact that you will also have to establish a tax and insurance escrow account. That requirement goes into effect April 15th. Some companies are already applying it now, but that's an issue for many lenders who wanted to still perhaps offer an escrow waiver on those loans.
And that's raised up a good point, Alice. A lot of things that are kind of out there that are coming on and becoming effective, how do you anticipate or do you have any insights as to how a lot of the correspondent lenders are going to be responding? Are they responding ahead of the game and in preparation for this and not extending some of the grace and mercy specifically in the one rule where there's, you know, you need to start doing it now, but we're really not going to force it. But there's some other things that are coming down the line. Are you anticipating them getting ahead of those deadlines and actually starting requiring a little early? I'm hearing some reports of that.
Usually we see a lot of lenders, they're, you know, usually in the 11th hour trying to get things done.
Scrambling.
And, you know, thank goodness they were crossing their fingers that the FHA's appraiser independence rules, you know, all those letters got postponed till February 15th. So
yeah, let's talk about that. Get into that a little bit. I have that on your notes here as my next topic. So you opened it up. Let's go there for a brief minute.
Well, you know, we've been concerned with the fact that FHA rolled out several mortgagee letters about appraiser independence and who can order the appraisal and who can't.
Right.
And a very real roadblock was working within FHA Connection and trying to actually get the functionality of ordering an appraisal up to a wholesale level to where a broker did not do this, or could a broker, you know, make the request, but then you have to keep this all in line with the new compliance rules and HVCC. So they had to postpone it really for some technical reasons. So lenders really should be looking at keeping things that you've got the appraiser independence policies. It's very similar to HVCC, having that in line, and that the appraisals now will only be valid for 120 days. So that'll be a shorter window as well.
Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything more on that. I think I'm looking over the emails that are pouring in here as we're going over the various topics. Joe, let me go ahead and read a few more of these. Any topics that you have for the program today that we have not covered that you thought would be of significance?
No, I'll just go back to affordability. We are off the low rates, but not that much, and we have a tremendous amount of affordable product out there, and when you measure the interest rate and the home purchase price, you'll find it's a great time.
Well, I have a question. I actually had a question for Joe and for you, Dave. It was something that, as you guys were talking about rates, that crossed my mind. Is, and just in my travels and where I've been throughout the month of December, there are dramatic changes. Each market is so dramatically different. If I go to the Midwest, I'm in my own state of Michigan, people have a whole different viewpoint of what's going on versus you're in Texas or California or Florida or the Carolinas or Colorado. And so to me, this recovery that we're so-called in, the national numbers, I think, are not going to work at a grassroots level. And so what do we see as we go forward in the market in terms of rates and pricing? You know, those are national standards. How do you manage this if you're a regional lender? You're dealing in multiple regions.
Well, it's fortunate that they are national. You know, living through the oil bust in the 80s, we, without Fannie, Freddie, Jenny, we wouldn't have had a way to make a loan. And it may be somewhat the same in Michigan now.
Exactly, yeah.
Can you imagine how high the rate would be if it were an individual investor without the guarantees to support those mortgages? What would the rate have to be? So I think as long as we have national backing like we have in the form of the guarantees, that we shouldn't see a lot of regionalized pricing on, you know, the conforming loan limits.
I think there's I want to just echo your point, Joe. In fact, thank God we got Fannie and Freddie in there, that's still there, and hopefully will continue in some form or capacity. We need a national lender to even out rates, because if we were to do risk-based pricing, certainly markets like Detroit, which has still got, you know, some, it's probably got a tougher economic road ahead than some other markets like Texas, what we're enjoying down here. You know, if you were to do risk-based pricing, you start seeing inequities, and higher rates in a market like Detroit would actually exacerbate the problem. So I think we can be grateful that we have Fannie and Freddie in here. I think that it's recognized. There are some comments that happened that came out of the Feds, and I'd love to print those out, and we'll be talking about those in future broadcasts. About the Fed's position, I kind of like they're getting it. They're understanding the importance of Fannie and Freddie, and there's a lot of looking back over this last year, and some interesting things that were written that said that, you know, that this was not a mortgage, this financial crisis was not brought on about by the mortgage industry. It was, in fact, brought on by the Fed because of the lower interest rates. They kept rates too low, and it just kept allowed that bubble to grow and grow and grow, and it burst. It was an ugly burst. And so there's some interesting commentary. So wherever we're at, you're at, listener, on this, stay tuned. We're going to be talking about that in future broadcasts and future programs. We're getting a lot of emails in, Joe and Alice, about, they say, well, what's this about the article? Give us the website. So I want to give it to you again. Go to MortgageOrb, www.mortgageorb.com. You go there, halfway down through that website, there is a you'll see the article required reading. There's several of those. One is looking forward to the future or looking into 2010. I can't remember exactly how the article was published, but you'll see it there. I'm the one that authored it, and I encourage you to read it. A lot of people are coming back, Joe and Allison, saying, could you go into that more depth? So I think what we'll do next broadcast is you can anticipate looking forward to the future. And we've got a good number of listeners that tuned in again today, and we want to thank you so much. I think everyone will be fully back to work next week, and maybe it's appropriate next week, Joe and Alice, that we dive into looking into 2010. And so if everyone could grab that article, we'll be on it, and we'll be talking to you about it. Thrilled to be with you. We appreciate every week coming to you with an update on the mortgage market. And Alice and Joe, I just want to wish you both, again, a Happy New Year's. And the same goes out to all of our listeners. I want to thank you all for being a part of this, making it a success. Our goal this next year is to continue to bring you up to date on the critical issues that are going on in the industry. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back here same time next week. Dial in and tell your friends about it. We're here to help you digest all that's going on and set a course for success in 2010. Happy New Year, everybody. I look forward to hearing from you next week.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.